I invite you to open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is my theme verse. Years and years ago, I had it framed and put it up above my desk. And it reads like this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is so pungent, so brief. Let me read it again so we can let it settle into our minds. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a poem that struck my attention some time ago, especially the last stanza. It's entitled The Record Book. If all the things you ever said were written in a book, and all your thoughts were on display, so all could take a look, I guess there's not a single soul who would not hang his head and feel ashamed before the Lord and wish that he were dead. There is a record book, I'm told, with every deed and word. It even keeps a record of our thoughts that can't be heard. The good, the bad, and every sin, not one thing has been missed. It really makes me feel ashamed to think what's on my list. Now notice in particular this last stanza. And yet the pages of the past shall never bother me, for Jesus nailed them to his cross one day on Calvary. And now standing him complete, redeemed from sin and strife, for with his blood he wrote my name in the wonderful book of life. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
God's record book. In that one short but awesome verse of Galatians 2:20, and its context, we can discern five vital characteristics of our lives in Christ. To fulfill them will both please the Lord and provide for us current and eternal benefit. I want both, don't you? Current and eternal benefit. The first characteristic of my life in Christ, I call the mystery of my life. Look at verse 20. I hope you'll keep your Bibles open there. Verse 20, the first piece of that says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives. This is one of the greatest of biblical paradoxes. A paradox is a seeming contradiction. Now, how can one be crucified and yet live? That is the question. And it is illustrated by the death of a seed to bring forth life. The Word of God says, except the seed be planted in the ground and die. It is illustrated by the fact that the mother dies in labor pains, in order to bring forth new life. This is not the Greek philosophy of immortality, but is rather the Christian doctrine of death and resurrection to new life. We die plumb dead, to put it in South Texas lingo. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead but alive. How can it be? That's the mystery of it all. The second characteristic of my life in Christ is the manner of my life. Look at verse 20, the second piece of it, which says, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. You know, other religions have their creeds and their codes of ethics, but they have no dynamic. That is, they have no power to accomplish these creeds and these codes of ethics. But Christianity is unique at this point. We have the power to live the creed and code of ethics. Why? Because the living Christ is living within us. This is what we call theologically incarnation. Engrafted. Paul says it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. The third characteristic of my life in Christ is the means of my life. What I call it, the means of my life. Look at verse 20, the C part of it, third part of it. It says, I live by faith in the Son of God. Live by faith in the Son of God. While I was still a student in Bible school, long years ago, I discovered that there are four Bible verses which suggest the possibility of living by faith. They emphasize that. The first is way back in the Old Testament in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which reads, the just shall live by his faith. The next is Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. The next is Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. And the next is Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. Galatians 5, verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What is faith? Were you about to turn that on for me? And then ask him in? See if you can put that. That's my own homemade definition of faith. I've had to put several scripture references together to make it a definition. Hebrews chapter 11, standing by itself, is not a definition of faith. It's a description of what faith accomplishes. Faith is the divinely generated, Romans 12:3, ability to believe that what God has promised in his word, Romans 10, verse 17, he promised that what he will be and he will do, Hebrews 11:6, in the present and the future as he has in the past. Hebrews 13:8. What does that say? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Were you about to say praise the Lord? Amen. The survivor of a shipwreck years ago teaches us that the means of our life should be faith. He was the only survivor of a shipwreck which washed him up on a small uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none was seen forthcoming. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames. The smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything was lost. He was stunned with grief and anger. God, how could you do this to me? He cried. Early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island. It had come to rescue him. How did you know I was here? Asked the weary man of his rescuers. And they said, we saw your smoke signal. It's easy to get discouraged sometimes when things appear to be going badly, but we shouldn't lose heart because God is at work in our lives. Even in the midst of pain and suffering, remember next time your little hut is burning to the ground, it just may be a smoke signal that summons the grace of God for all the negative things we have to say to ourselves. God has a positive answer. Glory to God forever. The fourth characteristic of my life in Christ is the marvel of my life. Look at the fourth piece of Galatians 2:20. It says, who loved me and gave himself for me. How can it be that a sinner such as I could receive his grace? I constantly am awestruck by the great demonstration of his love for me. I marvel at it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, unsaved and unclean. How wonderful, how marvelous. I never know which of those words put in first. How marvelous, how wonderful, how wonderful, how marvelous. What difference does it make? Paul underscores this marvel for us in a manifestation of God's love for us in Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The marvel of my life of faith Revelation 1 and 5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's a doxology. The world calls it, and they understand it from the Greek language. It means a praise word. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. One of my favorite characters, I think, was mentioned this morning, is John Newton. Previously reared by a godly mother who taught him the ways of Christ and helped him to accept Christ the Savior when he was just about 7 years of age, and then she died by the time she was nine, and John Newton's ungodly father, who was a ship's captain, stole him away from the orphanage and took him out to sea and tried to make a sailor out of him. And John Newton ran away from all of that. He didn't like that and wound up in Africa, actually put into slavery by the wife of a slave trader who was there, and for a long time he was kept in chains, and then finally was liberated and came back to the U.S. In later years, of course, John Newton gave up that business of the slave trade and became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a hymn writer, pastor of Aldi in Great Britain for many, many years, but he never once gave up his old seafaring garb, his old captain's garb. He wore it always, even into the pulpit. They said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Because it reminds me of two things. Two things I can never forget." And this he said on his deathbed. "The first of these is that I was the greatest of sinners. And the second is that Christ is the greatest of saviors." Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. The fifth characteristic of my life in Christ is the mission of my life. Our text, Galatians 2:20, is the focal point for the mission of the great apostle Paul as one sent to the Gentiles, not to the Hebrews, but to the Gentiles, whom the Jews thought to be despised, unworthy, and unreachable. But Paul felt himself to be an apostle, that is, a sent one, especially to the Gentiles, according to the book of Galatians and his other writings in dozens of other references. We can conceive of Paul's mission to the Gentiles, that is, the unreached and the unreachable, as the target, as the bullseye. The focal point of the bullseye is Galatians 2:20. The next circle out is the scores of references to Gentiles in the rest of Galatians, and then all of the ever-enlarging circles are the unreached, the multiple thousands throughout the known world of the great apostle, that is, the great sent one, Paul's day. As we look back at what we have discovered about the mystery and the marvel, the manner and the means and the marvel of Christ, we can say that it is awesome. It is amazing. It is marvelous. Amen. And when we contemplate that, we must respond in genuine worship and dedication of our lives to the service of Christ. and to others. Could our penis come back, please, and let's bow our hearts together in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being in this good place. Thank you, Lord, for the attention of this congregation to your word, preached and sung. Thank you, Lord, for helping us now to let this be our prayer. Lord, use me. Here am I, use me. I want to be greatly used by thee, across the street or across the sea. Lord, here am I. Use me. Would you stand with me, please, and let's sing that chorus together. Lord, use me. Here am I. Use me. I want to be greatly used by thee. Across the street, community, in the next county over, in the next state over, in the next nation over, at home and abroad, we want to be used as you.